Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Tracy Bennett. In studio with me are certified financial planners, Tyler Cook and Tony Payne. And today we're going to be getting into a very difficult navigation of a topic that we often see, and one I think that is really important to parents out there. When a loved one has special needs, planning isn't just about finances. It's about making sure they're protected, supported, and cared for long after you're gone. So today we want to hand off some plans to think about as you're refining your financial planning. Peace of mind in your lifetime, planning for loved ones with special needs using a trust is the topic for today. So first I want to explain why a trust, why that's important, why it's relevant, what it is. Let's explain that as well. I'll let you take the baton.
There can be a couple reasons why you want to have a trust involved, whether it's for you or for someone else's benefit. So again, before I just dive in, kind of back up a little bit, you know, you may have a special needs trust and you may know that's someone from birth that may have something where they're going to have some benefits coming where, you know what, if I can dedicate resources to them, I don't want those benefits to be offset. So if something like housing, medical needs, you know, those might be something that you could qualify for with a government program. But if you're setting money aside, unfortunately, it might be too much to qualify for those. So that's the idea of the special needs trust is I could be saving, I could be contributing for the future needs, but for special things. Mm-hmm. For instance, maybe it's a new mattress, maybe it's something different that isn't going to be covered by the traditional benefits out there, the government plans, but I'm still able to have something for my loved one or that person in my life with special needs. So that's usually the way we think of it starting, or it may be because of an injury later in life where you've had that disability come about or something.
You just read my mind, because special needs doesn't necessarily mean having a child with special needs. It could be, falling down the stairs and hurting your body.
A lot of times it's unfortunately a personal injury. We think sometimes associated with a personal injury settlement, maybe where there was an accident or someone else at fault and, you know, someone's not able to do what they were able to do before. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason where you want to protect assets and really try to give the best financial life or picture mm-hmm. for that person who's been affected.
And we're not CPAs or attorneys, but this is a lot of what the certified financial planner manages in tandem with those specialists. So you guys are great to have this conversation with. Should somebody fund a special needs trust during their lifetime or wait until after death?
It could be both. We see both. I think this depending upon the need and the timeline and how old somebody is that needs the that separation with the trust. So again, backing up to that, the whole idea is to create the bucket that's not going to impact, like you said, the Medicaid benefits or other benefits maybe through the state. So you create this separate bucket. You can actually put money into it, invest it, let it grow, and have a separate bucket to pull from that's not going to impact the other very nice benefits that you can get through the state and through the federal government. So that's the key. And I think your timeline dictates based upon, like you said, could it be later in life? Is it a child from birth? It could be all over the place with mm-hmm. the timeline.
And especially the level of care needed.
Yeah.
You know, you think about there might be things where you as the parent are able to do now today, but as you age, you may not be able to handle that in the future. So you're preparing ahead of time to say, when I can't do these certain things, and maybe they're not all medical things that would be covered, but something even like grocery shopping, you know, being able to get out there, being able to give a quality of, you know, some of the hobbies or entertainment out there that as you age, you may be slowing down too. You may have some things for your retirement and you need some time for yourself as well. And that's where having these other resources and planning ahead are really so important.
Now, we've done other podcasts about trusts specifically. So I want to understand a special needs trust differs from a regular revocable or irrevocable in what way? What's the significance? Why not just a regular trust?
And it may not, though. And that's where the idea of a trust, and again, to just break down the idea a little bit, it's a document that a lawyer will draft with a bunch of, I'll say, rules in it. And whether or not it's revocable or irrevocable is usually the biggest distinction. Mm-hmm. So you could have a trust for, I want to say, almost a million different purposes. So when we think about a special needs trust, we can get into those details. But usually that's best for when you're sitting with your attorney and you're talking about your situation. But the broadest differences are, if I'm living and I know I'm going to have that need right now, I may set up a revocable trust in my name for the benefit of someone today, or you may also decide, like you said, Tyler, you you plan ahead, you might have an insurance policy on yourself, a life insurance policy, and you want that money to be set aside irrevocably for the future when you die. So there's a couple different ways you could set it up, but really it's all about what are you trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the level of care needed?
Yeah, you just made my eye stop twitching because that's a lot for the average person to absorb.
It is.
You're already dealing with so much. And again, I'm speaking with a little bit of authority being there and being in that situation with some family members myself. Mm-hmm. So the idea of you're not just dealing with numbers, you're dealing with people. And to tie that back into pride, mm-hmm. ego, those basic things. I mean, let alone, am I saving enough for my own retirement? Those are the kind of things you have to really be real with yourself on. Because like we talk about in so many shows, you've got to have a good foundation before you can usually worry about someone else.
So if you've got a trust, a special needs trust, why is that better than having perhaps a Roth IRA that's beneficiaried over to that individual?
That's a great question. You can still have both. No, it was. It was great, Tracy, because it's a real situation. I mean, you've been working, you've been saving, you're trying to do all the right things, but you also know you have that loved one. And I'm going to keep emphasizing that. You've got that person in the household that you want to take care of. They're already receiving some benefits. Well, the special needs trust is there for today to help protect those benefits. Now, if that Roth IRA is, like you said, beneficiaried over to your loved one, well, once they inherit that and they have that money, well, that may be access to that money. It might offset benefits. There are some things where you might have someone leaning on them where it might be best to be in that trust, be protected, and then the trustee you picked, the rules that you picked may apply. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what, if we have three children, maybe I need to equalize that great term to say, how do I make it fair? Mm-hmm. And say, maybe someone gets the Roth IRA, but I leave the house to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, again, you start thinking about your situation. What do I have? What are the needs? And then you can really plan by sitting with a qualified attorney.
Yeah. So for the people who like to put masking tape under personal artifacts in the house, assuming that the person that they've chosen to deliver all those things upon death, that doesn't work.
It may work if there's just one person cleaning everything up, and they know to look for it.
You have more, you have more control with the trust to ensure that your wishes are going to be.
Yeah, I think the biggest point that Tony emphasized was the protection of the benefits that you could get through government. That's huge. That's the primary reason I think why you do it.
So you're not relying on somebody to make that decision.
Oh, you just don't want it to be impacted. So you want to be eligible, qualify for as much as you're eligible for, and not have other things get in the way of that. And mm-hmm. so the trust creates that wall between the two.
And what we see, and I kind of mentioned it before, that ego word, but you know what? You may be doing well enough that you feel like you don't need those benefits, or you know what? That's not our thing. We don't do that. But the idea of, you know what? Make sure that you've gone through those hoops, that you know what you qualify for or you don't, because it's your loved one who, you know what? Those dollars you might have spent on things that were covered, those dollars might have been available for them for something else.
Right.
And that's the piece where it might feel like a lot to go through and find out if you're qualified and navigate that whole space, especially if you feel like you have enough. But what we see is, depending upon the condition, that cost of care may gradually go up over time. Think about it. You're retired now. Your income's drawn down. You're slowing down. Now their needs are only growing. You know, that's the idea of, if I'd planned ahead and I got some of those early benefits, maybe before I thought I needed them, but if we were qualified for them and we were able to protect things on the side, that's where life becomes, I hate to say easier, but at least financially a little bit easier.
What's the difference between setting that up and maybe a long-term care policy through your insurance company? I mean, my every person brain is kind of feeling like there's other options.
No, it's perfect, because they really may work together, because you may say, you know what, there's not someone who can take care of me who's readily available here. I need to plan ahead. I need a long-term care policy, and that may help protect some of my other assets that I could fund this special needs mm-hmm. trust, or that I could keep the house or stay in the home. Because you know what, if I had a major stroke or event and I needed to leave the home, what about my nephew? What about that person who was living with me that I was taking care of? That's where the special needs and, you know, not ducking your head in the sand, not saying, oh, it won't happen, but addressing it early on, you can avoid some of those real heartaches and really bad situations.
That gives me a visual. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, so talking about SSI, Social Security, Medicaid eligibility, how does funding a trust impact the beneficiaries' benefits in those areas?
I'll let you keep rolling, sir.
No, well, okay. Really, if you're doing it right, it doesn't affect them. If you're doing it wrong, it may offset them. And the idea of, you know what, if I'm doing it the right way and we have access and we can cover everything, great. You know what, a lot of attorneys I've heard may say, you have enough, you've got multiple millions. Maybe you don't want to navigate this, make things public. That's okay. That's your choice, though. But again, you really have to have substantial assets before I think you can make that decision. So that's where, again, the idea of having the trust, not offsetting benefits, especially at the state level, mm-hmm. because each state's going to have a different set of rules, and finding that advocate, that person that, you know what, when the state changes the rules and maybe we need to reapply, maybe we need to put in a new application each year or something, mm-hmm. you know what, I may be able to do that for my brother now, but who's going to do that when I'm older? Mm-hmm. You know, the idea of thinking that through as well is where making sure you're protecting the benefits is beyond just having that wonderful trust document.
Right.
On the benefits side too, Tony, again, you're far more versed than I am in this, but I believe there's an annual requirement too to keep showing the need. Is that a thing?
Well, there is now, definitely. Yeah. Okay. And the idea is that each state, there may even be some monthly requirements.
Oh,
so
wow.
You've
okay.
got to stay on top of it. And again, that's part of navigating this and to keep these programs strong. You know, you've got to navigate the difference in fraud and need. And, you know, again, that's a whole different show, I'm sure. But the idea of be aware of what the rules are that affect the plans and programs you're eligible for, that's how we stay ahead.
And that kind of feeds into the next question is, and you've kind of alluded to it, but how does this change as their life changes as far as SSI and Medicaid?
Well, again,
what are things that should be on the radar for people?
Yeah, it kind of hinted at it, yeah. But think about your life cycle. I mean, just the idea of when you retire, what's that going to look like? As you age, what will that look like? You know, you filing for Social Security or benefits, you know, has someone been able to work? You know, it's not automatic that someone with special needs won't have a work history or try to work there. So the ability to say, you know what work benefits are there that maybe we're able to fund and dedicate resources ahead? You know, we haven't really talked about the ABLE account yet, but there are some other accounts out there that are different than a special needs trust that are a lot simpler that you could fund and put some funds into that also will basically help offset losing any benefits.
So trustees are really an important aspect of this whole plan. So it sounds logical. If you were to ask everybody, they would probably immediately have a go-to person that they would ask to be a trustee. But are there things that are not sort of in the emotional, logical brain that you can provide tips to choosing the trustee?
Yeah. Again, it's got to be that person that you trust. And if there isn't that person that you trust, that's the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you can't duck your head in the sand. If there isn't that obvious person right now in your head, you have to find them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're that person, you're that charge, that fiduciary or that guardian, that's up to you to have that successor, that plan B. And I think that's really important to, again, I hate to say navigate it without giving a lot more advice, but I think it starts with trust more than anything.
Yeah, it can get complicated too if it's a scenario where there's multiple siblings involved and one sibling thinks that they might have the best decision for their sibling that has special needs. Then they're butting heads with the other sibling, says, no, they need this. I mean, that could be an issue too. But as the parents, you want to Tony's point, put the person in the best position to succeed and do what's needed for the person that needs the care. And that can change over time too. But the idea would be, from the start, have that conversation with the family. The communication piece is critical so that everybody knows their roles and who has what authority. And that way you get ahead of it and try to prevent any future issues. If it's a sibling scenario where you've got multiple siblings trying to help their other sibling with special needs.
And if you're listening in and it's all overwhelming, and it is, I mean, so a group like the Special Needs Alliance, it's an attorney group. I mean, they're financial professionals. They have some in each state that are registered there. You put in your zip code. But if you go to the specialneedsalliance.org, they've got a lot of information there, a lot of basic definitions. So if you're starting to navigate this or you know this may be something coming for you, to do a little bit more research with an unbiased group and really start to be able to ask better questions, mm-hmm. I think that's what we're really going to be able to accomplish today is help you ask the best questions. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Great resource. Is it easy for somebody to breach what's been set up as a trustee?
It can be.
The trustee answers to the attorney, right?
Well, not necessarily. The trustee has a lot of authority. So, and we've seen scenarios too where they don't follow the rules of the trust. And if there's nobody really overseeing that, you probably find out too late, right? That's one of those situations that it's, to Tony's point earlier, you truly have to trust the trustee to do and execute what you've laid out in mm-hmm. the terms of the document.
You can hire accountants, you can hire attorneys, you can hire investment professionals, but that person who's going to look out for your loved one's best interest, who may share your values because you communicated them to them, that's, I think, the most important piece. Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest piece usually. Mm-hmm. Again, the accounting, the 529, the ABLE account, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. We didn't even really get into it, but there's a way to modify a 529 for help there too, depending upon the state.
That was my next question that I actually, in my research, learned. How do you keep the trust plan current as the laws and the care needs change? So talk about the ABLE Act, the Secure Act 2.0, evolving care needs, those kinds of things.
Having the team of professionals. I mean, again, I said you, the trustee, you may not have to find the perfect person in accounting or in law, but they need to be able to find and research that and maybe interview a couple different professionals each time, but to have that relationship with someone who stays current, mm-hmm. you know, maybe not that general family attorney, but someone who locally, that's what they focus on, a special needs trust. You know that they stay current in that. You know, it's not always a recommendation, but starting with a group again, like the Special Needs Alliance and looking at an attorney registered there in your area that shows some competency. Hey, I'm staying current on this stuff because the laws do change and they'll change at the state level, the national level, and what may have worked 10 years ago may not work now.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Thank you very much, guys. Careful planning gives families peace of mind, especially when the future depends on it. We're glad you tuned in. We hope you'll check in later. Thanks for joining us.
Media. Think big.